to Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 7. John is writing at the commandment of the Lord to seven churches in the region of Asia. And in verse 7, we find one of the only churches that's not really strongly rebuked for one issue or another. And it's the church in Philadelphia that is written to. I believe that it's noteworthy that it's in a place called Philadelphia, because most of us who had any American history would know what that word would mean. Would mean city of brotherly love. I would believe that if the region was known for its brotherly love, and this church was a church in that region that was spoken of for having more brotherly love than other regions, that we wouldn't be stretching the scripture to assume that this church had prospered in a region of Christian love, and for that reason should be rather advanced in brotherly love. If they had grown in that culture, if it was commonplace for there to be brotherly love, certainly it would excel in the house of God. And I think we could easily come to that conclusion. We live in a day and age where certainly that is not the common culture around us. Love is not a common culture in our in the world that we live in the country we live in the state we live in, or the cities or communities that we live in. That's not a common thing. No one would look at our country, no one would look at our cities and say, well, those are just some very loving. It's not a loving world we live in. The news is filled with horrific crimes of hate and violence, things that parents do to their own children, just horrible things. We would not be known for this, but this region was known for this, and so we could assume that that the believers in that area would certainly excel in this. If they were grown in that culture, and then God had called them to be saints, and then added them to the church, that this would be one of their strengths in this church. And he writes to this church, and he says, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true. He that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." In other words, these things saith the one, first of all, who is the standard. The one who is the standard of holy, the one who is the standard of true. A church, however good they may be, are not the standard of holy, and are not the standard of true, nor do we or any church I've ever been a part of claim to be the standard of holy or the standard of true. We claim to pursue that standard, but we do not claim to be that standard, and people get that confused. Hypocrisy is and being a Pharisee is not a product of a particular religion, but it occurs in many religions. But we claim not to be holy or true, but we claim to pursue the one that is holy and true. And he states that he is the standard there, the holy one, the true one. He that hath the key of David, he that has the rights to the throne, he that has the lineage of the tribe of Judah, he who is the king, he who is the one with the authority. And he states that he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. He is the sovereign one. He is the one that is in control and has all the power. And having said that, he goes on in verse number 8, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door." I have set before thee an open door. An open door will be the what our thoughts will center around this evening, an open door. Just to think very simply and very much as a layman, An open door represents a place that we are not right now. Just very simply, just thinking about the fact that he said, I've opened a door, speaks of the fact that there's a place that they have not been and that they are not now. And we could look at this both individually and as a church. I believe they were an example of churches. They were a church of churches. They were in the city of brotherly love. They're one of the only churches that's not rebuked. But setting all of that aside, he says, there is a place that you've not been. On the other side of that door is a place that you have not been. You're not there. Sometimes churches and individuals, we can think it collectively, and we can think it individually. If we all think it individually, we basically think it collectively. So if everyone in the congregation feels themselves to have arrived, then the church as a whole feels themselves to have arrived. And so that's the community effect of that. But however you may look at it, he said, behold, I have set before thee an open door. You may be a church of churches, but I have set before thee a door. There is a place, there is a level, there is some destination that you are not. It speaks of many things. It speaks of opportunity. It speaks of a place that nothing is stopping you from going to. He says, I have set before you an open door. I've set before you a door that's wide open. You know, when we think about that idea for a moment, really, it's a very exciting idea. It's a very blessed idea, the idea of an open door. Sometimes we get to blaming God for the fact that we are not in another place. We see a place where we want to be. We, as a church, we may see a place of revival. As a individual Christian, we may see a place of being a better person, being a better father or mother, or whatever it may be, we may see another place. And sometimes we blame God for the fact that we are still in the place that we've been forever. And he said to this church, I have set before thee an open door. It's an open door. Last week I was preaching away, and I preached on a particular open door, and that was the open door of prayer. That's wide open. The door of prayer is wide open. You can walk through that door anytime you want to. It's wide open. Why don't we? There are numerous doors. One of the problems that I have chronically is I spend my time staring at maybe the one locked door in my life. I spend my time trying to pick that lock. I spend my time trying to beat it down. I spend my time trying to pull the pins out of the hinges, and I'm staring at that one locked door all the day long, the one thing that God has restrained from me. And is that not the problem of the Garden of Eden? There was one tree that was restrained from man, and that's the one he had to eat from. That's our nature. But he said, I have set before thee an open door. What an opportunity. Do we see that in our lives? In our lives, there is an open door. Think of the places that we can go in the power of God. We get to fretting and worrying about maybe the one closed door and some of the difficulties that we have, and we do not realize the open door that's before us. Almost a year ago today, or this month, I had a major surgery. That has opened up the door of conversation to numerous people. It's an open door. You know, many times we blame our witnessing on the fact that we say, well, the door's just not open. You know, there's plenty of open doors. I remember Pastor preached a message about when the prophet of God was about to die. He met with the king of Israel, and he told him to shoot some arrows, and he only shot three, and he said, you should have shot a whole bunch more. You know, it speaks of missed opportunity. Think of the doors. Think of the doors that are open to us. I miss many open doors because I've spent so much time fretting and worrying about maybe one door that's closed, one door that's locked, one that it's not been given to me. He said, I have set before thee an open door, notice the next phrase, and no man can shut it. I have placed before you an opportunity, and nobody can screw it up. Nobody. Many are stuck in a place in their lives, and they want to blame everybody about it. He says, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. It's not the way you were raised, keeping you where you're at. It's not the teaching that you've heard, keeping you where you're at. He said to this church and to these people, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. You might say, well then, he wrote this to that church, and that doesn't apply to me. Oh, there's thousands of open doors in the Scripture. There's tons of them. We do not have the time to visit all of the open doors in the Bible. Matthew 7 and verse 7 says, well, let's just turn and read that one so I don't misquote it. But there's tons of open doors in the Bible. Matthew 7 and verse 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone, every single one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. You know, salvation, because we believe election, isn't all locked up, this locked door that nobody can get into. In fact, it's wide open, but nobody walks through it. Salvation is open. The Lord's church is not restrictive. In the book of Revelation, the Spirit and the bride say, come, but nobody does. You know, as I have taught on the idea of church authority to many people, and they say, well, that's not fair. You're saying that nobody can have authority but you. And I'm saying, no, our church will gladly give you authority if you'll take it. No one will take it. We will gladly rebaptize. We will gladly give away all the authority. None will take it. None will take it. I've offered it numerous times. I've had pastors call me angry, screaming at me, saying, you're saying you're the only one. I'm saying, no, there's only one way. And you can have your authority the same way I got my authority to do a mission work. I'll give it to you. Come, submit to the ordinances of the book. I'm not special. We're not special. It's an open door. And salvation is the same way. The Bible says, whosoever will. The door's wide open, but nobody goes through. The sovereignty of God must pick us up by His grace and work a miracle in our hearts, because we just stand there at an open door. There's numerous open doors. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, the Lord speaking to the children of Israel says, this day I set before you a blessing and a cursing. A blessing if you obey, a curse if you disobey. Anytime you find the word if in the Bible is an open door. But we would rather live our lives blaming God for the place that we're in. We would rather live our lives and say, well, there's no door. There's no way I can't get out of this place. It's not my fault. The door's closed. Jesus said, I set before thee an open door. It's interesting, in the first few chapters of the book of Revelation, there's numerous doors. This revelation was written by John as he was in prison. We know that he was in a kind of ancient Alcatraz. He was thrown on an island, put in jail, out of touch from all the people. They thought, this will take care of this John. We'll lock him up out here where he can't do anything. We'll close all the doors. Well, that didn't work. And God showed his power over the chains and bars of a prison island on the Isle of Patmos. First of all, he comes and he meets up with John on the Lord's Day, and he begins to speak to him, and he says, I want you to write seven letters. I mean, just think about that. That was amazing in and of itself. He got seven letters off this deserted island to the churches in Asia. The Lord had a means and a plan, and We're not given those means, or we don't know who carried those letters, but that's amazing in and of itself. And then if we look at what happened to John as the Lord was speaking to him in chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Now, mind you, he's locked up in prison. It seems as though he'd have every excuse to say, what can I do here? I have every right to be miserable. And in Revelation 4 and verse 1, he says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. He's there in the Isle of Patmos in prison, but in the Spirit God takes him away into glory, and he sees unspeakable things while all the doors of the prison are shut. He walks the streets of gold and sees amazing sights. He could have focused on the doors that were shut and the doors that are locked, but instead he's raptured away to another place. The door was opened. There's another interesting door in the book of Revelation in these first few chapters, Revelation 3 and verse 20. He rebukes the church of the Laodiceans. And when he finished rebuking them, he says in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. We have here a whole other picture, a whole other analogy, the fact that this church had closed their doors on the Lord Jesus Christ and they were not fellowshipping with him. He says, and it's not my fault that there's no revival in your church. It's not my fault that your church is lukewarm. I stand at the door and knock. If anybody will have fellowship with me, I'll fellowship with them. But they had closed the door. There was an open door and they had went and, ooh, close that. We can't even think of that. We think of that as ridiculous, but it happens in our lives. Something better comes along and we close the door. Something pressing comes along, something important comes along, some matter of business comes along and we close the door. We pick up some new hobby and we close the door. We head some other direction and close the door. I'm afraid that one of the things that causes me most to close the door of fellowship with my Savior is sleep. I get awful heavy eyelidded and I have to go to bed. It's only so long that I study, and then the alarm goes off the next morning and I'm tempted to hit the snooze or roll over and close the door. Get on my knees and pray for a while and start to get sleepy and close the door. We cannot live our lives blaming God for our lack of revival, our lack of fellowship. He says, I've set before you an open door. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Pastor preached a message a while ago on Wednesday nights, and I've yet to listen to it. We were gone away from this text. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. His power is given unto us all things that we need. The door is open. There are so many ways in our life that the door is open. And really, this is an exciting concept. This is not meant to be discouraging. There's an open door. Tomorrow, when you get up, there are numerous open doors. Numerous ways that we can be in another place in our life. We don't have to be in the same place that we were yesterday. Verse 4, he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises. We read some of those. We have exceeding great precious promises. Wide open doors. James, the book of James in chapter 4 says, "Ye have not because ye ask not." There are numerous promises in the Word of God. Go gleaning through those. Go and as Spurgeon says, go pick some of those ears of corn. There's thousands of them through the Word of God. Wonderful promises all the way through. Wide open doors. Try me and see if it, he said, if I will not pour out a blessing, that you'll not have room to receive it. It's an open door. There are so many opportunities that we miss in our lives. Our children, they're open doors. There's all kinds of things that we can do to instruct and teach our children. Just many times we don't do them. The simple matter of the fact is we just don't. We could memorize scripture with them. We could have devotions with them. We could have periods and times of instruction. There's all kinds of doors open. There's nothing preventing us from the precious promises that are in the Bible, except that we close the door ourselves. And we've built up walls and barriers in our minds. But he says, it's an open door, and no man can shut it. Lastly, I want to mention one other thing. In the book of Revelation there, we read in verse 7, not only is he the one that openeth and no man shutteth, in the last part of verse 7, he's also the one that shutteth and no man openeth. Some of the doors that are open in our life, some of them may not always be open. That's a serious matter to consider. Some of them may not always be open. And we have an example of that in a situation that was happening in a church in Revelation chapter 2. We have this awful woman, Jezebel, who is seducing the servants of God to do horrible things. And God said in Revelation 2 and verse 21, he said, "And I gave her space to repent of her fornication." I left the door of repentance open. I gave her space. I gave her time. I left that door open. Never went through it. Never went through it. He said, "And she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to their works." I had the door of repentance open, never walked through. The Bible says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." There are some doors that may have a time limit on them. We don't know God's timing. We don't know what he's doing. We know that none of us know our time on this earth. We don't know how long we'll be here. Hebrews chapter number 4. Verse 7. He says, "Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David," that's in the Psalms, Psalms 95 to be exact. "He limiteth it to a certain day, saying in David, 'Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts.'" After so long a time, today, will you hear his word? Will you be obedient to him? You don't know how much longer you may be in this life. And I know that God is sovereign, and what may be will be, and all of that. But there's a door open. If you're lost tonight, if you've not been saved, the Bible says, "Whosoever will." While it is called today, harden not your hearts. I know that you will need the power of God to walk through that door. You will need the power of God to even know that the door exists. But the Bible calls you to come, calls you to Himself. And if you are a child of God, if you have trusted in Christ as your Savior, if you have believed in His death, burial, and resurrection as the only payment for your sins, there are numerous open doors to you. There are many. Many doors open to us. So many that there'll be many opportunities that we will miss in our lives. Don't spend all of your life focused on the doors that are locked, that you can't walk through. Focus on the opportunities that God has given to you each and every day. Opportunities to witness. The Bible says that we will reap in proportion to how much we sow. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "He that soweth sparingly will reap sparingly." That's an open door. An open door of witnessing. There's an open door of prayer. There's an open door of training up children. You know, a lot of times people say, "Well, there's just nothing for me to do in the church." Oh, there's numerous open doors. You can make yourself a warrior of prayer for the church. You can bring a brush down here and scrub the sidewalks till they shine. There's all kinds of doors open. Just many times we've built up barriers in our minds. And in the book of Proverbs it says, "The slothful man saith there's a lion in the streets." In other words, if I go out there, I might get killed. There's always an excuse. There's always an excuse not to walk through that door. But the door is open. And He said, no man can shut it. There are opportunities. If you're still alive, if you're still breathing this air here tonight, there are open doors. Be encouraged about that. Tomorrow, there are open doors. You are not stuck in yesterday. The only thing that binds you to yesterday is your own mind. And I'm good at that. Man, I tie myself down and I live in yesterday. It's so real to me, so alive to me. All the problems of yesterday, I'm just buried right in them. The door is open. Where will you go? What will you do? It puts the responsibility on us. We can't live our lives blaming God, blaming our parents, blaming the church, blaming the pastor, blaming our neighbors, blaming our boss, blaming our children, blaming our spouse, whatever it may be. People blame everybody. Jesus said the door is open. It's wide open. We'll have Brother Jim come and lead us in a song, and we'll be dismissed. Remember those on our prayer list, and remember Sister Marjorie.